Eskom saying four incidents of sabotage at three of its different power stations over the past week. Cable on Unit 1 at the Matla station was cut over the weekend. On Thursday, a power cable leading to a valve at Tutuka Power Station's Unit 5 was cut. There was a second incident of sabotage at Tutuka. An air pipeline was cut with a power tool and a small section was removed. And then reactor earth bars and flexible copper cables were removed from three units at the Hendrina power station. And all of those things, they're not the sole cause of the fact that we still have load shedding, but they are contributors to it. And it does lead one to ask the question, who is responsible for the sabotage and why? Chris Yelland probably is better able to speculate more intelligently than I. Chris, I mean, we don't know because nobody's been caught and this matter hasn't gone to court. So who's most likely to be responsible for these acts of sabotage?
Yeah, look, it is speculation. And firstly, I just want to say that we do need to be very careful about claiming sabotage. We need to be very careful. We've experienced this in the past. You remember Alec Irwin and the famous Bolton Estater, which was blamed on sabotage, but turned out to be an Eskom contractor, Rotex negligence. So we must be careful that it's not used as a sort of smokescreen for incompetence, shall I say.
So a cable cut can be incompetence?
No. Having said what I just said, we do need to be careful. There is definitely, from all appearances, that there is malicious and deliberate sabotage taking place, and sabotage being defined as a sort of deliberate damage to plant and equipment intended to stop production or to interfere with production. And Eskom have, as you've pointed out, come up with a number of cases that definitely point to this, and we await the prosecuting authorities to do their job and to bring these people to justice, which seems to be a very slow process indeed, if the past is anything to go by.
It is speculative, so speculate. You have a better basis on which to speculate than I have, because you know the industry inside out and I don't.
Yeah. Okay, look, I see a whole range of kind of activities here. First of all, there's this fringe sort of crossing the border between industrial action and sabotage. So industrial action could be picketing at the gate of a power plant preventing coal trucks from entering. Is that sabotage? Is it industrial action? Well, it depends on who you speak to, but I'd say that is probably more likely to be industrial action. Then you have criminal activity. People who are stealing cable and overhead lines. And this sort of activity, which obviously leads to disruption, and some people would call that sabotage, but actually probably it's just criminal activity, theft. So that's another aspect. Then you have, there are political motivations. There are people who are trying to show Eskom's current management in a very bad light. And presumably their intentions are to replace the new management with people that are perhaps not as aggressive in terms of cutting back on corruption and maladministration and general. The new management at Eskom undoubtedly is threatening the revenue streams of many criminal activities embedded within Eskom, as well as collusion with suppliers and contractors and all those sort of things. And these people have got strong vested interests to maintain their illicit cash flows, and will do anything possible to have the current management replaced by a more compliant management that we had in the past with Coco and Malefi and company.
Chris Yelland, thank you very much for that little bit of speculation. Energy analyst, MD at EE Business Intelligence.